You will not regret being part of this service today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I was so happy to see the topic our teacher Uzo took for the Sunday school, because it goes with the same inspiration I have to share with the people today. It's true. That's where you see the hand of God. Now, listen very well. I pick my text from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. Please be seated and don't distract those who need to hear this. What did he say?
For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles.
He is a prisoner for Jesus Christ. And the sermon topic I have today is a question. Whose prisoner are you? Whose prisoner are you? By definition, a prisoner is a person who, by an authority, is placed under restriction of the prison authority. You are restricted. You can only do what whoever kept you in prison tells you to do. You have no freedom of your own. And Apostle Paul, as at the time he wrote this, almost 2,000 years ago, it was in a period in the ancient world where the prisoner had no rights, no single right at all. Their entire will belonged to their master. The prisoner, or referred to as a slave, or sometimes they call them servants, it belongs to a master because a price was paid by the master for him. There were even slave markets in those days. Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites. But interestingly, every human being is a prisoner to something, to either of two things. Every human being is a prisoner to sin or a prisoner to righteousness. That is our focus today. Every human being, including those sitting down here and now going to church, you are in one form of imprisonment or the other. You are either a prisoner to sin or a prisoner to righteousness. So Apostle Paul in Romans 6 verse 16.
Ye know ye not that to whom ye yourself.
To identify which prisoner you are. To who? Are you to sin or to righteousness? Now Apostle Paul reemphasizes it.
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, is servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience.
Read it again.
Know ye not.
Whoever you yield yourself to obey, to serve,
is servants ye are to whom ye obey.
That thing that you are yielding yourself to is your master, and you are the servant of it. And what? It's either
Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness.
And Apostle Paul described the prisoners to sin. This is what, how they identify them. And please be honest, because when we are talking here, we are not doing theology or intellectual. We are not doing lecture. We are talking about life and death. The serious thing when you come to church. When you say the effect of yielding yourself to sin is death. If you make sin your master, it's death. For the wages of sin is what? And if you yield yourself to righteousness, it's your master. The gift of God is what? It's eternal life. So see now, those of you or those of us who are imprisoned by sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those of you who are imprisoned to sin, Apostle Paul brought it out, identified it. This is your identification in Romans chapter 7 from verse 14.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what
Start again.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin.
You are sold under sin, like Joseph was sold to slavery. Your master is sin. Sin is transgression of the law. Hallelujah. Aha. Thank you, Jesus. I forgot a very loud revelation I received. Amen. Somebody is asking the Lord, you are repenting, and you are asking how you will do restitution. Somebody has decided to make restitution and is not having peace. Who is the person? If the person is here, please wave your hand or let me know. Let me tell you something.
So I got a message like that yesterday.
Okay.
I've not yet spoken with the person. A text message. He says, good morning, sir. There is a strong load I'm carrying in my heart. I don't know if God can forgive me. But the end of the message is saying how the person can do restitution. That was the question the person was asking.
Okay. And I'm sure the person will be listening. That's why God spoke to me now. I heard it clearly, because I know I have said it before, that God is more interested in repentance than restitution. Listen, God is more interested in repentance than restitution. What did he say? In 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, what did he say?
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
These Jews, we are told that the person they killed is the Lord of glory, Jesus. They were pricked in their hearts. What did Peter tell them when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? In verse 38, Acts chapter 2, what did he say?
Repent.
Again.
Repent.
Again.
Repent.
The first thing that God wants is repentance. And what is repentance? Stop it. Stop it. After healing that man, as the man was going, Jesus said, when you go and make restitution, Abi.
Go and sin no
he
more.
He said, go and sin no more. Stop that nyama-nyama lifestyle. Stop it. All this thing about restitution, it's not as it is presented. I hope that person has heard me. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 7, Romans. Let somebody know who you are and be sincere, because we are going to be frank to each other now.
Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not.
What I want to do, I am not able to do it. Go ahead.
For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I.
What I want to do, I find myself I cannot do. And then it is what I hate. I know it is bad, but that is what I keep doing.
If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Oh, what is it that do it? What is it that is controlling you?
Sin that dwelleth in me.
What is it that is controlling you that you cannot do? You know what you are doing is bad, though, but the power to do what, the freedom, you don't have the freedom because you are imprisoned. You're a prisoner of that thing you are indulging in. You know what you are doing is bad. You know it. It is evidence you are a prisoner of sin. Read on.
For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
Oh.
For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not.
Uh-huh.
For the good that I would, I do not.
Uh-huh.
But the evil which I would not, that I do.
Uh-huh.
Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do
Who is the person that is controlling you to do it?
But sin that dwelleth in me.
You are a prisoner of sin. Read on up to verse 23.
I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present
when
with me.
When I want to do freedom to do something good, evil is there controlling me to do something else. That is the condition of every human being. You are either a servant to sin, and this is how it is, or you are a servant to righteousness. But let's go on.
For I delight in the law of God after the inward man.
That is why you are in the church. That is why you go to church. That is why you pray. You delight to serve God. Uh-huh.
But I see another law in my members,
uh-huh,
warring against the law of my mind,
uh-huh,
and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members.
And some of the things you find yourself doing is what Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5 calls it the works of the flesh from verse 19.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these.
When you are in the prison of sin, this is your identity.
Adultery.
This is what that spirit controls you. This is what you will find yourself doing. And anytime you do any of these things, those of you who go to church, you know it is bad. You know it is bad, but you cannot stop it. Go ahead.
Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like,
huh?
Of the which I tell you before,
uh-huh,
as I've told you in time past, that they will do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
They will never go to heaven, and they will never enjoy the joy of salvation. They will never enjoy peace. For the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. Romans 14 verse 17, or 14 verse 17, what does it say?
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink.
Yes.
But righteousness and
righteousness,
peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Joy. You are not able to experience through righteousness the ability to live a life pleasing before God. Peace. Peace that Jesus Christ said he lives with us. And joy of salvation. That is the kingdom of God. That is evidence you are not in the kingdom. Those in the kingdom, they enjoy peace. Not the peace that the world gives us. The peace that comes from above. That comforts us. Righteousness. The ability to live a life pleasing before God. Obedience of God's word. And the joy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. The type of joy that no matter what you are going through, you are still giving glory to God. You are still worshiping God. You are still pushing on. That is evidence. You are in the holy, you are in the kingdom of God. The songwriter says, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We have a taste of it here before we go up there. We have a foretaste. Hallelujah. That is the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. And some of these things, God said, they are abomination. God hates them. That is why you will end up in hell if you live that type of life. As the psalmist brings them out in Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 16, 17, 18, and 19.
Proverbs 6, 16. These 16 does the Lord hate?
Uh-huh.
Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and hearts that deviseth wicked imaginations,
uh-huh,
feet that be swift in running.
You are
to
seeing it though. These things are in the church. Oh. Start again, verse 16.
These 16 does the Lord hate.
It's for emphasis.
Yes, seven.
He said he hates it. Anything God hates, he hates it. He can't bless you in it. He can't fellowship with you while you are indulging in it. He hates it. He mentioned six. There are more than six. So you see the way Apostle Paul listed his own. But even before grace came on, the wise man had this revelation. Read it again.
These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look.
People who are proud.
A lying tongue.
Lie, lie.
And hands that shed innocent blood. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren.
Now listen. Verse 19 speaks about a false witness that does what?
Speaketh lies.
In verse 16, he mentioned lying. Verse 17, he spoke about lying tongue. He mentioned lies two times. You know what? There are two sins that people who claim to be Christians, they drink like water. Number one is fornication. And number two is lying. The Bible makes it clear already. He that committed fornication sinned against himself. That means anytime you commit fornication, you are not only breaking the law of God, you are also destroying your own life. There are many of us that are suffering today is because of fornication. Number two is lie, lie. And do you know what? To tell you, the worst estate of any human being that is sick is that he does not agree that he is sick. Because except you believe that you know that you are sick, you will never go for medical attention. It's true. The day that you know that something you are doing is destroying your life, that is the day you will stop it. Don't push it to God. Don't push it to God. Every human being, you don't need the Holy Ghost to stop doing bad. I repeat. You only need a willing heart. You need a willing heart. So this idea of, I don't pray, oh. I don't pray, may God make me sleep with women, oh. The thing not stop. You think you are wiser than God. God, he himself is a lawyer. You want to push it to God to justify the evil you do. And some to tell you that untimely death is following them. Now married women, now they go meet. You know your own, now cause of untimely death, they follow you. We do deliverance. And we have known, some of us, we learn, we interview them. Some of these people, when you sleep with them, you are finished. Finished. There was a girl that was in this church some time ago that told me the curse she has is that any man that sleeps with her will die. And she said many men have died because of it. So she's looking for deliverance. That's why she ran to Bride Assembly Church. And she was honest enough to open up. Telling you now. Oh, when Mafuluku, was one girl that also confessed that all she needs is a point of contact to you, your business name. If you give her your complimentary cadastro and you sleep with her, and he said, if you are rich, he said, at that time, I'm talking about 25 years ago, she said, you will collect, and when you are sleeping, you will tear one leaflet of your check In her language, she said, even if you own a bank, he said, that bank will go down. She told me this. Okay, so how will I know that? Even if you curse me, even if you curse me, you go on top mountain, do dry fasting, curse me. Then I will go and sleep with a woman where I never marry. Abby? When we say these things, we are saying it with all seriousness because that is our duty as preachers to do. For those who have ears to hear things that will rearrange their lives and make their lives more beautiful. They will tell you that they'll justify their sin. David even killed one man, collect a wife. What happened to him? Are you David? Are you David? Okay. David had to kill 1,000 Philistines as his bride price to collect the wife, the daughter of a king. So, no be only that one. You too. Before you marry, you too. Go and bring 1,000. Since everything David did, you will do it. And David was a king. Are you a king? You don't deceive yourself. Then the liars, they will say, Abraham lied. God is still blessing. Abraham's blessings are mine. You see, I'm not the one doing it. I am a new creature. I am this, I am that. I discovered by research that there is what you call pathological liar. Listen, what is pathology? Generally, pathology is the study of diseases. It examines how illnesses start, how they progress, and how they affect cells, tissues, and organs of the body. That study is called pathology, the study of diseases. So, we have a pathological liar. That means a liar that is infected, a person that is infected by this disease of lie. It's a medical condition. It's a psychological condition. That is the truth. So this is what I found out. Pathological, or they call it compulsive lying, is a behavioral condition where individuals habitually, as a habit, fabricate stories without clear motives, often for attention or due to underlying issues. While not always a standalone diagnosis, it is linked to personality disorders like borderline, narcissistic, or antisocial personality disorder. Fictitious disorder, otherwise known in that study, known as Munchausen syndrome. It's a syndrome. Brain damage or mental health is triggered by a mental problem. One of the problems is insecurity. And the key characteristics of this habit is a compulsive habit. That is, lying becomes a continuous automatic reflex rather than a rare choice. No obvious gain. Unlike regular lying done to avoid trouble or protect feelings, Pathological lies are often told for no logical reason. Even when there is no need to lie, the person will lie. Fantastical, they'll be telling, you know, it's characterized by fantastic stories. The fabrications of those stories can be dramatic, grand, or make the person look heroic or deeply sympathetic. You will coin the story in such a way, in a dramatic way, make it look very, very grand, or make the person look heroic, or so that you'll be pitying the person, so that, you know, the person will tell you a story of how he or she is a victim of this, victim of that. Meanwhile, it's all fabrication to attract deep sympathy. Over time, the individual may start believing their own stories or become defensive when questioned. They themselves, that is where the madness is really rich. They'll begin to believe that the story they are saying is true. And when you try to question the lie, they will fight you. They'll become defensive. The chronic deceit, frequently, that is the effect. It damages trust, leading to major problems in personal and professional life. That nature aims to destroy your personality so that nobody will trust you. Because no matter what, one day, that story you tell will be confirmed later that it was a lie. And the key aspect of this condition also include pathological, they call it, there is a name they give it, pseudologia or mythomania. And that is persistent, long-term lying that is disproportionate to any goal. What you want to achieve. Individuals may create elaborate fantasies and sometimes struggle to distinguish truth from fiction. A serious mental health issue, because it causes fictitious disorder. And fictitious disorder in science is known as Munchausen syndrome. Munchausen syndrome. It's a syndrome. It's a serious health problem. A serious mental health issue where someone lies about having physical or mental health symptoms or purposefully makes themselves sick to get attention or care. It is a syndrome. I read it again. It is a mental problem. It's a mental health issue where someone we just start lying about having physical or mental health symptoms or purposely make themselves sick so that they will get attention or care. They will even take drugs because they get to a state where they begin to believe the lie that they are saying to be true. That is why it's a serious health condition. It creates personality disorder. People with narcissistic or borderline personality disorder, known as BPD, may lie to maintain a false self-image or to manage overwhelming emotions. That's why they lie. And compulsive lying can be rooted, one of the reasons, in low self-esteem, deep-seated insecurity, or seeking for approval, a need for approval. So that you can see that is a serious matter until science even has a treatment recommended for such people. He said it involves psychotherapy, such as cognitive behavioral therapy, to identify what normally triggers it or change the behavioral, to change the behavioral pattern. They will see what is it that normally triggers it. Something usually triggers it. Then they'll start, when the demons start to manifest. But I say, as a believer and as a preacher, as a spiritual man, it can also be handled spiritually. That's the truth. Because in John chapter 8, verse 43 and verse 44, Jesus Christ said this to the religious people.
Why do you not understand my
speech? Why are you not able to hear all the sermons that we are preaching and you still continue to do all the things that you do?
Even because ye cannot hear my word.
You don't have the ability to live a life of righteousness.
Ye are of your father the devil.
Yes.
And the lust of your father ye will do.
That is the one that has imprisoned you into that spirit. The devil. And all that he tells you to do is all you'll be doing. He's the one that makes you to lie. Read on.
He was a murderer from the beginning.
Okay, now that is why you can gossip anyhow. You can destroy people's life, personality behind them. Behind them. Somebody has not come close to you, but he hates you because of what somebody told him or tell her. You just start hating someone because someone to, and those people who do that, they always sound very convincing. You can't doubt that they are lying. It's because Pastor Lumide said it is a gift. He said it's a gift. The gift of lying. The gift of murder. The gift of slandering people. You see? You have not finished. Read it.
He was a murderer from the beginning.
Yes.
And abode not in the truth.
He does not abide in the truth.
Because there is no truth in him.
In him, in Satan, there is no truth in him.
When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his
because
own.
Because it does not exist. What he's saying does not exist. So it starts with him, it ends with him.
For he's a liar. And the father of it.
So if you're a liar, your father is who? Why don't you answer me? If you're a liar, who is your father? If you marry a liar, who is your father-in-law? Amen. I hate lies. I used to be a liar until I married my wife. As an unbeliever, I saw somebody that I hated lies. That's why I say you don't need the Holy Ghost to stop doing bad. Because when person, where they owe, call me, I will say, please, answer, tell them, say, I know them. She goes, say, go tell them by yourself. Why do you want me to lie? And my son, then, small Joseph that you all know, he was before 4 years old. Then one day, phone rang, and he picked the phone. Hello? Daddy, should I tell him you are not around? Your lies will catch up with you one day if you don't repent. And almost all of us here, we are liars. If you are not a liar, you don't tell lies sometimes. Wave your hand. So I'm talking to everybody. I'm talking to myself too. Eh? Who put up a hand at the back? Who? You are are sincere. I'm talking to everybody. If you don't know your problem, how will you have your prayer point? How will you go to God to help you? Identify, agree, this is my problem. Some of you, the certificate you have, now forge. The result you have, now person write them for you. You know the lie you told your wife when you do one bad thing to cover up? Almost all married men, then they fear their wife past God. You, uncle, sister, did you spend all the money they gave you for market? Yes. Meanwhile, you put one for one corner somewhere. Christian, even teach your children to lie. May God forgive us. May God help us. Know your problem so that you will know your prayer point. That's the purpose of this. Hallelujah. All that work dictated by this flesh, you are prisoners of sin. That's what Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, 6, 7. All of us, so that you will know. That's why I'm happy nobody put up your hand. Either for fear or for hunger, we lied one way or the other.
For they that are after the flesh do mind.
If you live by the dictates of this flesh, that is your eye, the five senses that we all know.
Do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against
that
God.
That is why he said he hates it. Anybody doing anything that God hates, you are an enemy of God. And everyone that lives by the dictates of the flesh, you can never live a life pleasing before God. Live like that, you are not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed it can be. Verse 8.
So then, they that are in the flesh,
you
can
never
please
God. You can never please God. But let's look at those who are prisoners to righteousness. And that is what every one of us are sentenced to. In Romans chapter 8, let's continue from verse 9.
But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his.
You see?
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell
go,
in
go
you.
Go to verse 14.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
And Apostle Paul also told us, hallelujah, Jesus is the one that said, if you're a liar, Satan is your father. But read up verse 14 again.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God.
If you are also led by the Spirit of God.
They are the sons of God.
So you're either a son of a devil or you're a son of God. It's true. And those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the prisoners of righteousness. They are the Spirit, the prisoners of righteousness. The prisoner of righteousness is one who has surrendered your personal will to God's will. You have surrendered completely. Your will, you are the one to surrender it. You are the one to decide, this, I want to live a life pleasing before God. Total surrender. In Luke chapter 22, and verse 42, we see that statement that Jesus Christ showed us as an example.
He was
to be crucified. His last moments at the garden, the Gethsemane, and this was his prayer.
Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
That is, if your will lead me to go and die, I don't want it because I can't go through it. However, because I have surrendered my will completely to you, let your will be done, not my will. That is somebody who is a prisoner of righteousness. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, this is how prisoners of righteousness identify themselves.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The life that I live is what? And the life which I now live in the flesh, you live it by what?
By the faith of the Son of God.
By the faith, the strength of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. For me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. When somebody is saying like that, he is trying to explain to anybody looking at him why he is odd. Why he has chosen this pathway of life. And you owe nobody apology. You owe nobody explanation. Because you are a prisoner. You cannot do otherwise. You are already arrested. You are arrested. Because Philippians, even Ezekiel chapter 24, the process of conversion from verse 25, Ezekiel 36.
Then will I sprinkle clean water upon
see,
you.
See the process, how he catches his prisoners.
And ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh.
Now listen very well.
And I will put my
spirit. After that, what will happen?
I will put my spirit within you.
I will put my spirit within you.
And cause you to walk in my statutes.
And then you become my prisoner. I am the one now that will make you only to obey me. If I say go, you go. Stop, you stop. Anything tells me to do, I will do it. I can't help but to do it. I can't help but to do it. You will not understand me. You won't understand why this brother cheated me yesterday and is coming to me for help again, and I'm still helping him. You, naturally, the fighter that walk in the flesh, is tit for tat. Here am I. Me too. I can't explain why I am still giving him. There's a spirit in me that is making me do that.
A prisoner
of righteousness. I can't do otherwise. I can't. Don't ask me, why are you fasting like this? I can't stop it. I don't know too. Me too, I don't know. He's the one that told me to fast. Why are you doing that? Why? Don't question me. I can't follow you. Why are you not following me to chase women? I say, when I was with you in your prison, we were smoking before, we were drinking before. But when my prison yard changed to prison of righteousness, I find that they will not allow us in this prison yard to smoke, to drink, to do anything. Our master is watching our going out and our coming in. There is an all-seeing eye watching you. Watching. He is watching every day. Mind the course you pursue. Oh, watching you. Watching you.
There's an all-seeing eye watching you.
His spirit is in you and causes you to live a life of righteousness. Life pleasing before him. And until you receive that spirit, you have not yet entered that prison. And that is why in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, Apostle Paul again said this.
For it is God
which... The way that you see me living my life, don't question me. Don't question me. What is it?
For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
It is God. I am a robot for God. Controlled by God. Controlled by heaven. Anything I do, because God tells me to do. How do I know? It's in the Bible. And he is also in me. He is my pivot. All my life is revolved around him. That is how it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. So you understand 1 John chapter 3 from verse 6. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 6.
Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him.
Oh.
Little children, let no man deceive you.
Listen, oh.
He that doeth righteousness is righteous.
Even as he, Christ Jesus, is righteous.
He that committed sin is of the devil.
Eh?
He that committed sin is of the devil.
How many devils are here now? Every sinner. You know, as I'm talking now, Yunko. They are talking at the back. They know they sit for front. Those people are for back, then they sit down. What of grace? Where is grace? Grace, they make your boyfriend they sleep with you every day. Now grace with that. Did I tell you that I am above sin? Don't you know that what I'm preaching will stand as judgment too against me? I am preaching to myself as I'm preaching to you. We are all in this flesh, in the same battlefield. I'm coming to share a revelation God showed me where I should be. I'm sharing it so that you too will know what I know. Then we join the battle together and live leave the prison yard of Satan. That cage is taking you to hell. I don't want to go to hell. How many people want to go to heaven? How many people want to be with Christ eternally? Stand up, let me see you. Stand up, let your neighbor see you. You are the one I'm talking to. Don't mind those who don't want to go. Thank you. Sit down. Don't mind those who don't want to. You are the one. We. He says, come we that love the Lord and let our joys be to Zion. We are marching to Zion.
Committed sin is of the devil.
Uh-huh.
For the devil sinned from the beginning.
Yes.
For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested,
uh-huh,
that he might destroy the works of the devil.
That he might destroy the works of the devil.
Whosoever is born of God.
We are reading 1 John chapter 3. Which verse are you now?
Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God.
Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Why?
For his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born
because
of God.
Because he is born of God. See the difference.
In this the children of God are manifest.
And who?
And the children of the devil.
What is the difference?
Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother.
That is the difference. Because Cain, if you go further, he said not as a Cain.
For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him?
Because of jealousy. Because of jealousy. Because he finds past me. He is more anointed than me. He knows the Bible more than me. He just came yesterday. He's already assistant pastor. This small boy. You're the same spirit in Cain is the same spirit in you. Praise the Lord. The reason is because the seed of God remaineth in you. Therefore, you can't find pleasure in committing sin. That is why you cannot live a life of sin. You find yourself there, you will rush back to righteousness. You can't leave Christ. There's something that is holding you back. A prisoner of righteousness is the person that is willingly captivated by righteousness. Willingly, because he said, come to me, and you came. You came. It is the identity of spiritual maturity where a person's conscience and love for God are so strong that willfully choosing wrongdoing becomes spiritually impossible. Or it becomes deeply painful for that person to do something wrong. That is the prisoner of righteousness. That is the prisoner of righteousness. Unlike being forced by external laws, this imprisonment by righteousness is driven by an internal transformation. There is something that has taken place inside of you. That is where the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes in. The Holy Ghost guides that person's desires, making righteous living their nature. It's your nature. And I say something. Many of us, we say you cannot eat certain food. No matter how deliciously it is prepared. You either say, because there's pepper inside, I cannot eat it. Now, Holy Ghost will make you no chop ham. No, sir. It's not everything you say, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. The ability to know that this is not good for me. It may be good for you, but it is not good for me. Stop living people's lives. Know what you're looking for and how to get what you're looking for. Know what you're looking for. Know what you're looking for. Stop comparing yourself with other people. You don't know if whose prisoner that person is. Every human being is a prisoner. Some people, they are prisoners of a homosexual spirit. Don't follow them anyhow. If you must have anything to do with them, be watchful. Don't do that. Where do you pick your influences from? Must you live by the dictates of other people? Why are you not the leader? Why are you always the follower? The spirit that that is in you is stronger than the spirit that is in the world. Why are they not following you? Why are you the one following them? They cannot follow you to church, but you will follow them to beer parlor. You will not drink, oh, but you will sit down there. Who are you deceiving? Your best friend are smokers and drinkers. What is linking the two of you? Two prisoners from different prisons. Who told you that the prison in Nigeria is the same type like a prison in Europe? The worst thing that can happen to an European is to commit offense in Nigeria and be in prison in Nigeria. These things I'm talking as if I am joking is what will define your end. I will continue next Sunday. Bow down your head and be sincere. Lord, prepare me.
Jesus.